welcome to the second official talk. This talk is about the second internet backbone study that talks about effects on ongoing centralization and consolidation in the internet infrastructure. You will hear about wide-ranging internet disruptions, outage scenario, dependencies on cables, broken cables, I guess, and other social and economic effects. Contributors to this talk are Thomas Schmidt. He is a professor at the Computer Networks and Internet Technologies at the HAW Hamburg. Matthias Wallisch holds the chair of Distributed Network System in the Faculty of Computer Science at the TU Dresden. And Markus de Bruin, last but not least, I'm happy to announce him. He will start with the talk. He is, since 15 years, I guess, with the German Federal Office for Information Security, BSI. The floor is yours. Thank you.
So, thank you. Hi, I'm Markus. I'm not a network engineer, so thank you for having me anyway. Matthias, who will join me later on stage, and I wanted to introduce you to a study that was initiated by BSI and also funded and carried out or conducted by Leitwert and LinkLab. The study was published last year and was also announced on the DNOC mailing list, but I would suspect that not many of you have actually read the study because it has 340 pages and nobody likes to read documents that are that long. So my intention is that I'll give you an overview over the different chapters of the study so you can pick the chapter that most interests you and have a look. In the study. So the main theme is consolidation in the internet, centralization and what changing internet landscape. And we try to view at this from different angles. So this is the overview of our chapters. I will start with chapter 2, real internet outages. So this was in this chapter, we collected internet incidents that had a measurable impact, and that most of them also made it into the press. The time frame for this was between 2008 and 2019, so we collected 107 incidents and categorized them according to several categories. So what caused the incident, what type of incident was it, collected links to reports about the internet, and all of these incidents were assessed by different criteria. So how long did the incident go on? Was it wide? How wide was the range of the incident, the impact? Did it spread? How was it resolved? Is there any data that we can use to understand the incident? Was there a post-mortem published by the one who caused or was affected by the incident? And in this chapter, you also find some statistical analysis of all those incidents and how they relate to each other. We selected 5 incidents that we wanted more detailed analysis of. We selected incidents from different categories. So the first one was energy blackout in South America, which caused several outages, of course, in South America. But and we analyzed all this with data which was collected during with different platforms. So there, as you might know, there is several platforms that provide measurement data that you can use. There's Rybris, you can use Ryb Atlas, RouteViews, Isolario, and all this data was used for this analysis. But we also every measurement platform has sort of their own bias, and you miss a few things. And we were lucky to have another project partner, which was Lightweight, who has peerings with many tier one providers and could fill some of the gaps which in the data, which was not in the in the public measurement data. So based on this incidence, we designed four fictitious incident and wanted to know what would happen if DKIX in Frankfurt would go dark, or what would happen if there was no transit through Russia anymore. And we correlated this with, were there any incidents that relate to this? So can we draw any conclusions from previous incidents? And also try to back this up with data analysis. So in the study, you can find a lot of text, but also some pretty pictures. That will give you an idea on how bad incidents could be if something would happen. Regarding the Russian transit outage, I think this was before the war on Ukraine started, so I think we were ahead of the time by then. But yeah, I think we'll leave it here and hand over to Matthias, so we have room for questions after the presentation.
Yeah. So hello, also welcome from my side. I mean, I will now guide you to two other chapters, which is about changes of the internet infrastructure and the social and economic implications. I will pick up some important aspects, not all of them, but some of the things that I will tell you are not new to you, but what is important to note in this study, or about the study in general, as Marcos already highlighted a little bit, is that the claims that we make in this study are bolstered by real data. I think that is quite important, that we back up all of this by real data and not only by arguments. So, if you talk about or think about what changed over the internet, then there's a common theme that is decentralization and consolidation. I mean, in terms of centralization, I think that is a wrong word. The internet is still completely decentralized, so we have a lot of networks, servers, and services that are not run on a single host. But what we experience nowadays is a real consolidation and actually fragmentation of the internet. And consolidation is usually nicely illustrated by services. In former times, we had email, which was completely independent of specific stakeholders. Nowadays, many, many people use services that are bound to a single company, such as WhatsApp. Same with the World Wide Web. If people want to get information, they do not use a World Wide Web anymore, but they use some weird social media channels. If they want to distribute files, they do not use FTP, they use something like Dropbox, and so on and so on. So there's definitely a trend, unfortunately, from open protocols and open technologies towards proprietary systems. And the big, big problem here is not only that they are proprietary, but most of the services are then bound, consolidated towards a single company. And even worse, this consolidation is not bound to a single layer. So think about, for example, search engines that are mostly focused on Google, but that this consolidation also occurs vertically across layers. So nowadays, for example, transatlantic cables are not only built and maintained by telco operators, but by those who originally started with providing a search engine. Yeah? So if you rent or want to have transatlantic access, bigger cables are, for example, maintained and operated by Google and Microsoft. And this is definitely not a good thing, having a consolidation on a single layer, but even worse across the layers. And you can also reframe it, the term consolidation, as a friendly word for monopolization. So if you think about what drives consolidation towards single stakeholders, then it's at the end money. And this is definitely not good. And maybe this as a side note, I mean, most of you already know this, but there's definitely no free lunch and no free service that is provided by a company. Even though it appears cheap and maybe free of charge, it is definitely not free of charge. And most of them make actually money with the data. So what we then did, one part of this chapter that talked about changes in the internet infrastructure, where we also visualized and analyzed based on real routing data how the interaction between multiple different networks occur and changed between 2000, 2010 and 2020. What you see here is, what we did is that we took autonomous systems, categorized them based on the peering DB and the KDAIR IS relationship database, clustered them, put them on a ring, and colored the different types of networks and visualized the transitions between the networks. And what you see here is that in 2000, we still had a lot of tier one ASs that were responsible for the interconnection of the different end users, which changed significantly in over the last 20 years, back from or in favor of having more and more large IXPs. So actually, instead of global peering, local peering. And the importance of internet exchange points increased significantly because of content delivery networks. And this is maybe not a surprise if you think about the changes of the internet and the services over the last 20 years. Then there's one important factor that drives innovation, and this important factor is reducing latency. Yeah? A lot of changes that occurred relate to reducing latencies. And IXPs, Internet Exchange Points, enable exactly this on a peering level. They provide a local access and as such reduce latency. But note, there's one nice quote by Bill Woodcock from Packet Clearinghouse. A successful IXP is probably an IXP that is cheap. An IXP, Internet Exchange Point, that is expensive is probably a failure. So think about with which IXP you peer. There is a trend over the last 20 years towards consolidation and even monopolization, and I think that is nothing new. Think about the telco industry, I will come back to this in a second. From the typical telecommunication system towards the open internet, and now again we repeat history somehow. Which also means that the internet infrastructure will change in the future, even though we cannot imagine it will happen. I'm pretty sure about that. And one lesson learned is that we should enable the end users to provide their service more easily on their own. And in terms of latency, for example, it means that they should be able to provide their own mini CDN. This basically means that content should be cached, should be available at any, any intermediate device, for example, at routers. And to enable this, you need to have some kind of content security instead of having end-to-end security. And there are architectures that enable exactly this. One famous architecture is information-centric networking architecture, also called data-centric networking, because this network architecture paradigm does not focus on where the content is located, but on providing the content in a secure and name-oriented way. And this slide is more or less to remind you that changes will happen, and we, you as a community, also as a network operator community, should be open for maybe changes. Yeah? Such that we do not need to wait as long as with IPv6 deployment, for example, which is still a little bit low. Another thing that we discussed is the impact of over-the-top providers. Why? Because it nicely illustrates that deconsolidation has also drawbacks. So think about videos that you might watch. In former times, Netflix was providing videos also from Disney. Then Disney Plus launched its own video distribution service in 2019. And the consequence was that this was some kind of deconsolidation, because nowadays videos are not only provided by Netflix, but also by Disney Plus. But for the end user, it means some kind of fragmentation, because now you have not only a contract with a single company, but with multiple. And even if you think about viewers, you might have to use multiple viewers. It's a little bit more complicated. So deconsolidation on the drawback, on the negative side, might lead to fragmentation. Fragmentation is also a quite important topic if you go even down in the stack. There's this term splinter net, which means that the internet starts to fragment, where in particular countries try to regulate the internet. That might occur for the good, but also for the bad. This leads to a non-open internet and makes it even more complicated for the end users, because all services that are used and provided by the splinter net look like services from the real internet. Yeah? You have the same web browser, the same technology, and the end user at the end cannot distinguish anymore whether he or she is connected to the real internet or to some part of only a single part of the internet, which might even lead to disinformation, providing information that looks like real information, but it is not. One big important takeaway here of the study is that the splinter net exists and it will increase, even in democratic countries. And we as a community and the society should be vocal about it and should be aware and should not accept this, because it's definitely not good for the society. And there's even more in this chapter 5 that talked about changes. There's a subsection about the Internet of Things. What does it mean if 20 billion new devices that connect to the internet, that are low-end devices, that do not have the power as your mobile, for example? What does it mean in terms of security? What does it mean in terms of monitoring, maintenance, and so on? There's a subsection about denial of service attacks that changed over the last 10 years significantly. So, if you're interested in this, chapter 5 is your chapter. And chapter 6, we focus a little bit more on the non-technical part. So, we discussed economical and society implications. There's one nice subsection about the changes of the telecommunications infrastructure towards the internet. And it might help to learn a little bit from the past. So, think about the old telcos. Your landline phone and the ISDN phone, and they were highly consolidated in the US to AT&T, in Germany to Deutsche Telekom, and this was obviously a consolidation and a monopolization, and this monopolization was split up in different ways. In the US, that was split. AT&T was split in seven independent regional operating companies called baby bells. AT&T itself was only responsible for the long distance calls. So the problem here was that this split looked like a deconsolidation, but enabled, on the other hand, again, quite easily consolidation again, because it doesn't ensure that there was any competition among the different companies. And this means, at the end, if you are in the US, you have actually the choice between two operators depending on your location. And this leads and to very, very bad internet connectivity, actually. So if you complain about your DSL home network in Germany, go to the US, it's even worse. In the US, in Germany, we did it a bit better. Because by law, we ensured that there is competition among the different new emerging companies that then provided telecommunication services. So, message here is we most likely will experience in the future deconsolidation by regulation. But we should consider the lessons that we had in the past, such that we will end up in a consolidated way again. So, long story short of this 300-page study that is backed up by real data, the internet changed and it will continue to change, but if we are not careful, it will continue to change in the wrong way. Which basically means that we were doomed because a lot of services of our daily life, commercial and so on, are based on the internet. And those who run the internet should be careful about this and should try to steer it in the right direction. All of the figures that Markus showed you are also available on a web page, in our interactive web page, so we can browse on this catalog, and you will see even more measurement data. And before you run into the lunch, please fill out this survey, because the BSI is interested whether they should do the study again, whether it should be updated or not. That's only 3 questions, that's not much. 2 of them are single choice question, and 1 is only free text field, so it's easy. Should cost you less than 2 minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Markus and Matthias, for the talk. Are there any questions?
Lutz Donnerhacker, short question, short answer. Are the Crimea sanctions part of the Splinternet problem? Thanks.
I didn't get it. What was the question?
Ob die Sanktionen.
Yeah. Which sanctions?
Crimea sanctions are the sanctions in place by the European Commission or European Union since 2014 and are extended after the attack from Russia to Ukraine. And I urge the ISPs to block internet access to something we didn't know.
At the end, I mean, it is some kind of regulation, and it will introduce some kind of splinternet. And as I said before, I don't know why it doesn't work here. This splinternet is regulations is introduced for the good and also for the bad. So,
anything venueless? No. Okay. Any other question? Okay, thank you.
So I would really appreciate it if you have a look at the study and fill out the survey and tell us if you find this is useful, if we should do something else in the future again, or which aspects you would want to be looked at in a further study. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for reminding me. Okay. You will all receive an email this afternoon to vote all the talks that you hear. That would help the team, the crew for this conference a lot. Thank you.
Lot of service. Enjoy your lunch.
Thank you.